that's when things were getting tough. That's when I was hitting brick walls. Call it the dry heat out here. It'll take moisture out of your dough so fast. I knew that I could get enough attention because I was born and raised here. He definitely kept me open. I think that if he wouldn't have been coming through, if he hadn't come through, I probably would have closed down. Looking back, if there is one thing that I know now and I could have changed, it would have been using the money that I had to get more money.
How's it going, Pizza Pals? My name is Idriff. In case you're new here, in this week's three-part episode, our guest is Pat from Squared Up Pizza Tucson. And let me tell you, we have a range of topics that are going to improve your pizza business and life through the lessons that Pat has lived. And he has lived through so many lessons, y'all. I mean, for starters, he opened up a pizzeria in a mall. And no, he didn't franchise, no, Esbaro, if that's how you pronounce it, Zabaros, I don't know. But trust me, it's not one of those like dinky franchises. He opened up his craft pizzeria. And I don't throw that word craft lightly. This dude learned from Tony G himself. And so the pizza's smacking. I've tried it myself too. The pizza is smacking. But he opened up in a mall. So we're going to hear about the challenges that he has faced opening there. We also, in this three-part series, talk about New York water. This dude is using New York water and he's not in New York. He's in Arizona, Tucson. We'll find out why that's so crucial to his operation, not just hype. But also, as you imagine, opening up in a mall, going back to it, is very difficult in today's day and age. Why? Because we are online shoppers. And he talks about the two angels that has helped his business because he was going through some stuff. He was about ready to get kicked out of the mall. But people got his back. He has some good karma somewhere. And so he's alive and kicking. And honestly, you know, when you hit rock bottom, there's only one way up. All right. This is an amazing episode. Shout out to Uni, Pizza Evans, Cordo Olive Oil, and Our Town America for making this podcast happen. We'll learn more about them later. For now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good, dough? Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have an amazing guest today, Pizza Pat, Squared Up Pizza Tucson. I had the pleasure of meeting this dude and trying his pizza in San Francisco at the SF Pizza Beer and Wine Festival. Pizza, Beer, and Bagel Festival. Let's get that right and show some love and respect to Tony G. Thinking over here, getting my drink on. Pizza Pat, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Excited to share some experience with you and get to know you a little bit more too. Because obviously, we only had so much time to chat or see each other or whatnot, and you had to get onto the next booth and make sure that you got all those carbs that day. So that was one hell of a party that he set up. He did an awesome job.
Dude, one of the best parties that I've been to, for real, for real. Yeah. This show is very much about pizza, so we can talk about all the carbs that we ate, not together, unfortunately, but, you know, individually, break that down. We have a shared love for pizza, so we can talk about all of that. But first things first, I ask all of my guests this. There's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
What's good, dough?
Sup, dough. That's our abbreviation for Squared Up Pizza, is sup. So we've been throwing that one out there down here, too. So I like clever. What's good, though. I like what you're doing. I've listened to a couple of your podcasts now, and yeah, I'm feeling it, man. You're doing good things.
It's fun to talk about pizza and, you know, in relation to sup dough, that's Squared Up Pizza.
Yeah.
And I got to try your carnitas pizza over in San Francisco. It was a Sicilian. Maybe you could break that pizza down for us. What's in it? What's on top of it? All the goodness.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a Sicilian style. And we're doing the Sonoran flair down here in Tucson. So carnitas is our first Sonoran flair introduction, kind of melding both of, you know, the Sicilian side of the dough, along with the cheeses that we're using, like the grande smoked mozzarella. And so we do the Sicilian dough, the carnitas under the cheese, so it doesn't get too crispy. But just some of it kind of pokes out, so the tips get a little bit crispy. Trying to make it as authentic as possible while it being on a pizza rather than in a taco or burrito. And then we bake that off with the smoked mozz and finish it with the habanero apricot jam, and then onions and cilantro and an orange juice mist. And it just kind of all those flavors meld together in such a Sonoran type flair way. And then that habanero jam is sweet, but also gets you on the back end. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a phenomenal pizza. That's something that Tony and I collaborated on. I showed up a little bit earlier in the week, tried to lend a hand, do some things for him and kind of help him out, because obviously that was a lot to plan. So I got to hang out with him for a day as well. And that man's a hustler, man. He's a mover. He's constantly busy.
I can't keep up with that dude.
No, it was tough for me, man. I'm 6'4". You know what I mean? I was almost on a slight jog at some points. That guy can move. And it was awesome to experience that. I'm not even 2 years into this, and I was able to spend a full day, you know, hanging out with him, jumping from shop to shop, checking on things, looking at things, having things explained to me, you know, on a one-on-one situation. And it was super humbling and full of information, and already starting to implement that into my shop. Been back a couple weeks now, and you know, things are getting better around my shop too. So it's always good to get some information from the top guy in the industry, you know.
Shout out to the top guy. Talk to me about that collaboration. How does one create a pizza with another person? I've seen it done through the community. I've seen people partner up. They've done it on Instagram. They even do it when they're like guest chefing at someone else's pizzeria. I think Dan Richer has partnered up with a pizzeria here in San Francisco when he was doing a tour of his book. But like, how does that process look like?
So for this one, it was pretty simple. I mean, Tony had asked me to come up from Tucson, and he knew that I was doing a carnitas style pizza down here. And, you know, he said, you want to collaborate on a pizza and you know, guest chef in my booth? And there's only one answer for that question. So it's, you know, yes, sir, I'll be up there. Let me pack my bag real quick type of situation and just go up there. And then it's kind of go back and forth on, all right, what do you want to do with it? You know, what are you feeling? Kind of open-minded on both ends and getting input from both ends. And just when the vibes are there, the vibes are there. You know, if you want to make a collaboration happen, you will. You know, there's some people that just don't want to collab with other people. They want just what they've, you know, got in their vault or bank or whatever. But, you know, Tony's pretty much taught me everything that I have learned in pizza. And he came up with some ideas. I told him how I'm doing mine. And we came up with that. It was pretty simple. I'm pretty good vibed kind of guy, you know. I'm relaxed, I'm chill, I'm not very aggressive when it comes to ideas of creating new pizzas, because you've got the simplicity ones that get everybody by, you know, the pepperoni, the cheese, and then you can start getting into there's six or seven ingredients on this pizza that you wouldn't put two or three of them together in your head, you know. And two heads work better than one. It's a science. It's a science lab. You know, that's how I feel about it, at least.
I vibe with that. And the creation that you all made, beautiful. Speechless, even on the first bite. I want to break down that the jam. Apricot, habanero. Was there Mike's Hot Honey in that too, or nah?
No, just apricot and habanero.
Okay. And then I think what really, you know, first of all, I'm a huge pan pizza person, right?
The jam was Tony's thing too. So, I don't think there was hot honey in it. I believe it was just habanero and apricot. Gotcha. That was definitely his touch on that for sure.
Got it.
And that was it. It was gas. It was so good.
it was so good.
You know what I mean? We do ours a little bit differently down here because we're doing it kind of like the taco would be. Uh-huh. But that one was, you know, because I brought up my media guy and my manager for my shop. So, you know, we're the ones that got to try it. And we love it as far as being back in Tucson. So we may do it if Tony's okay with it. I'm gonna have to ask him to make sure. But we've got a slightly different styled carnitas that we're doing down here too.
Gotcha.
That hopefully I can share with you guys at some point.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about that. Like, tell me about your carnitas and your sala pizza, the one that you're making there.
So it's a Sicilian style, obviously the squared up. That's why we're Sicilian. So we're doing a pasilla pepper tomatillo sauce, and then the carnitas and the smoked mozzarella, and then we're finishing it off with a pico de gallo and a cotija cheese. And so, and it just tastes like a taco on a pizza. It's amazing. So we like that one down here. It's starting to kind of catch its wind. We've only had it in the shop for about maybe 3 months. And then this week is Sonoran Restaurant Week. So we're a part of that. Hopefully that'll get some buzz to get people in to try it, because everybody that's tried it has come back up and said that this is a really good pizza. You know, it tastes just like a taco. We're getting all the same good compliments on it.
I was a fan of the sweetness, but I am down to try yours because that sounds great too. I'm a fan of creating something for, like, you know, the local palate around you.
Right.
Has you said that you're just starting these up, or have you
we're
made
about
any
three
other?
Months in. We're still already a couple of them. Yeah, we're doing an elote one, and then today we just got started on the birria one.
Mm.
So you know, by the end of September, so our seasons in Tucson, because it's so hot, summertime is a slow time. Our season's kind of when the snowbirds come back around October, November, all the way up until about Mother's Day. So from Mother's Day to Labor Day, we're pretty slow. It's not a destination place when it's 110. You know, a lot of people don't really want to come here. So we're just stuck. You know, we've got the local crowd, which is good. But when you got the East Coast crowd, especially with me doing the New York water stuff and having something that really tastes like it is in Manhattan for them, we've got a pretty big following. So season's coming up. We want to make sure that these are ready by then.
I do want to geek out on the New York water a bit, so we'll catch that at the tail end. But talk to me about 110 degree weather and dough. I know your location is in a mall, and is it well air conditioned?
So I can, my shop stays around about 74, 75 degrees. I let that bad boy run and I'll just pay the bill. It's better than having it at 83, 85. Especially cause it's, you know, they're called it the dry heat out here. It'll take moisture out of your dough so fast. Everything is saran wrapped. You know, we're getting it into the fridge as soon as possible.
Wow.
Once we tray it up, it gets saran wrapped for its rise. I don't have like a proofing box because I just don't have the room. I've got like 987 square feet to work with, and it's got a walk-in fridge and walk-in freezer right in the middle of it. So there's like three walls that go through this little tiny box that I have, and only so much refrigeration space is available, let alone proofing space. So we set it on a 2-3 hour rise to come to room temperature, and then we'll par bake them, and it's a cycle every day. And you know, we'd like to be doing more production of dough, but we just don't have the room for it. And then the mall, it tends to be a little bit slower, especially during the summer. But I believe, you know, malls are kind of dying. Malls are, the mall rat era hasn't really come back. You know what I mean? All this other vintage stuff is happening, but not the mall rats, not the people that want to go shopping every week or find something to do, or, you know, there's not really a whole lot of events that happen at the mall anymore, you know, so.
No one's kicking it at the mall anymore on a Friday after high school?
I mean, there is some people, but it's definitely not on Friday after high school. You know, this mall closes at 7 o'clock during the week and 8 o'clock on the weekends, so even that's kind of hindering. I close right in the middle of what would be like a prime time dinner, food time or whatever.
Right.
And then also people don't like to park and walk into malls and go to malls. They can get everything online these days. So food's not really like a thing until they get there and their kids are like, oh, I'm hungry. And, you know, then they buy their kids some food, or you don't really see a whole lot of high school kids. Sometimes on the weekend, I was able to get into that one at a decent cost to me, because there was equipment that was left there from the previous tenants.
Mm.
So I got my ovens and my mixer and all the refrigeration, my prep sink, my triple sink, my stove, everything, ice machine. It was all there for a really good price. I got it for a really good price. And
what's a really good price?
$15,000
for everything.
Yeah, four Blodgetts, 60 quart Hobart, walk-ins, walk-in freezer, reach-in, all the racks, all the tables. Pretty much I could turnkey this place. I did a little bit of work, but not too much construction to get it to be open per se.
A lot of pizza makers are using the wrong type of olive oil for their dough. Let me explain. Using commodity olive oil can have a detriment to your pizza, and I'm talking about a huge one. Whether it's rancidity or a nasty smell, you don't want that on your masterpiece. Say goodbye to commodity oil and say hello to Corto olive oil. Corto olive oil is the ultimate choice for pizza makers like us. Why? Because they use quality olives, they harvest it at their peak, and they store it securely so that when you purchase the olive oil, it is fresh. They pick their olives at their peak, they harvest it, and they secure it in a safe way. That way, it's ready for you when you make your purchase. The choice is yours. Do you want an explosion of flavor, or do you want that nasty, bitter taste on top of your pizza or in your dough? Anytime you need some Corto olive oil, use the link in the show notes or DM me, and I'll send you that link personally. I appreciate you for supporting me and my show sponsors. Are you looking to level up your pizza game? If so, I highly suggest that you check out Uni, the unrivaled leader when it comes to pizza ovens. Uni pizza ovens are a total game changer. With the ability to reach up to 900 degrees Fahrenheit, you'll have the power to be able to make the pizza of your dreams. What I love about Uni is their portability and versatility. You can bring them anywhere, or you can keep them on your patio or in your backyard. And you can make a ton of different styles of pizza with it. They're so fun to use. And guess what? You can use them to start your pizza business too. So whether you're a passionate home pizza baker or a budding entrepreneur, you gotta get with Uni. Use the affiliate link in the show notes. That way, you can let my sponsors know that you heard about them through What's Good Dough. Thank you for supporting me and my sponsors. Hey, hey, pizza pal. Did you know a staggering 18% of Americans make a move each year? So even if your business is firing on all four cylinders, you could be waving goodbye to one in every five customers. Oh no. With Our Town America's new mover welcome program, you can seamlessly replace those customers who've relocated. Imagine this. There's a family settling around the corner, seeking out their next favorite restaurant. They're in the midst of creating new routines and, yes, on the hunt for their next bomb slice of pizza. Here's your chance to shine amidst the sea of quote-unquote restaurants near me. Now picture this, a tailored, warm, welcome gift arriving at their doorstep precisely when they need it most. And here's the secret sauce. By joining forces with Our Town America, you'll learn how to transform these fresh faces into devoted, long-term customers. So, are you ready to dive in? Connect with Susan at 480-678-1366 or send her an email at susan@ourtown.net. That's susan@ourtown.net or 480-678-1366. What would you say, like, if I were to sell that stuff on Craigslist myself and like I was the original owner and I was, you know, looking for top dollar, what would you have paid on that secondary market?
I feel like I probably should have gotten it cheaper, but 15 was a good number for me. They were asking 25. You know, you look at brand new Blodgetts, they're like $30,000, and then their secondhand ones, you can find them for like $1,500 to $2,000. You know what I mean? It's it just kind of depends on the shapes in them. If I were to able to find somebody to take all this stuff in one swoop, I probably couldn't get more than 20 for it, I would say, in today's market. Unless I had to like hold on to it and piece it out, you know, piece it out, maybe get to 25 or 30. But it's so hard because there's only so many people that need that equipment, you know.
True. But you also bought 2 years ago, and I'm sure the market was a little bit different then, right?
Could be. Yeah, I haven't checked up on current market stuff, which I kind of need to do because I'm really trying to get an expansion going into a brick and mortar, because I believe that our pizza is a higher quality, obviously, than a mall for sure, but high enough quality to have sit down service and be able to enjoy it with your family, watch a game, have a beer, you know, all the things that keeps people in your restaurant that makes your restaurant successful. You know, my people come up, grab a slice, leave the counter, and we don't see them unless they come back to tell us that it's good. And I think that we need more, you know, you need more human interaction when you have something that's good quality.
I agree with that. I mean, there's also, you know, something to be said about like small New York slice shops that just do takeout only, and then they're in and out of the door.
Right.
But then also, though, I think you can't deny the fact that the mall population is a shrinking demographic. Like, I've heard you say on different news outlets, like, we're just accustomed to ordering online. That said, were you not anticipating that?
This is my first restaurant that I've opened. I've been in the restaurant game in Tucson for my whole life, from smaller places to resorts to tourist attraction places that are all top of the line foods, you know, all top of the line manager. I've learned a lot of stuff through a lot of people. I knew it was going to be harder than I was telling myself that it should be. I knew I didn't know everything. There's going to be some lessons learned the hard way, I guess. It was a little bit harder, a lot bit harder than I really anticipated. And, you know, I guess I was confident, you know, and that I could handle it. But it got real, you know, because the word got out pretty quick. We had people in our shop from the opening, because we opened in late February. So we still had a couple of months before people all left the town and went to, you know, back east or back to the Midwest or whatever for their other home that they have.
Is that how it works? Arizona is like
people. Yeah, we have snowbirds. They come from October to Mother's Day. After Mother's Day, they're gone. So October to May, and that's when they're in town. They've got, you know, this is their retirement place that they come where there's no snow, and you know, it doesn't get too cold. They can golf 365 days a year. We have a lot of people from the East Coast and the Midwest that come down here. Population, you can tell on the roads. that's when you know that they're back, is the roads are a little bit more congested.
That's interesting. I mean, and honestly, like that's a very fair warning for somebody who's looking to get into their next spot. Like, how's the traffic all year round? But I mean, you're a local, so you've anticipated that, but you also thought like, I can get through it. I'm sure there was something in your mind thinking, hey, there is a benefit to opening at this mall. You listed one already. You got a pretty good deal.
Proving product and proving concept. That was the main thing. As soon as I achieved that level, then it was okay. Then we'll think about how do we get out of here and get into a place that is going to be respected. Like, basically, like, it's a glorified food truck, you know, in these small little places. It's bigger than a food truck, a couple of food truck sizes or whatever, if you want to put it that way. I knew that I could get enough attention because I was born and raised here, and I grew up in the restaurant industry. And, you know, I threw a soft opening, had 100 people show up. So that was really good. And it's just been climbing ever since. And then, you know, we got some national recognition from Barstool, like 10 months in, which was awesome, because that's when things were getting tough. That's when I was hitting brick walls, you know, mentally every day, and just going home, getting ready to just take on another day tomorrow. And, you know, those are the dark times of restaurant touring for your first time ever, you know, and it only gets better. You know what I mean? It's, you got to stay positive about it. Otherwise it can eat you up. But, yeah, this is not for the weak. That's for sure. You got to be able to take some hits.
I think everyone sees both sides of the coin, at least if you listen to this podcast. You see all the people who kind of like started off right, and then you see the people who had it a little bit harder. And I think there are people who just keep on going, and then they finally make it out. They see the light at the end of the tunnel. And something that you had said was you got Portnoy come in there and he's given you some fire scores. Well, there you have it. That was my conversation with Pat from Squared Up Pizza Tucson. Before we go, here's a quick preview of what's to come.
I knew he was going to be in town. Once he told me the score, I was just like, I'm going to be busy.
Make sure to subscribe so that you can check that next episode. And if you appreciated this episode or the podcast in general, help me out and share this with a friend. DM them the link, share it on Instagram, however you want to do it. I greatly appreciate it. Appreciate you. Love you. Till next time. Peace.